This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tension increases as the seven top knitters in the land prepare their needles for combat.
So, Tony.
Michael.
Do you know what I heard?
I have a feeling you're about to tell me.
On this final judgment day, speed and accuracy in following eight separate patterns...
I have it on good authority that Max Verstappen is planning on retiring and devoting all of his time to competitive crocheting.
New South Wales wool knit-off champion Mrs. Green has been knitting for over 50 years.
Interesting.
This year, a surprising new challenger, ex-racing driver from Holland, a Mr. Max Verstappen, had an early start at the age of four.
And you know I'm going to ask this, but who are your sources?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
Let's just say it's gossip.
Okay. Right, okay. Get on your mark. Get set. Go.
From iHeart Podcast, 101 Studios, and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is...
Choosing Sides. F. 1.
Wow.
Michael, I have a question for you.
I thought questions were my job and your job was the answers.
We're shaking it up. Okay. Do you think we can have sports and athletes without that entertainment factor? Like, are sports just a form of entertainment, or should sports be put in their own category of human activity? Can we separate the two?
I love that question, because that question immediately... identifies that sport is entertainment.
Ooh.
You know, lots of times I think fans forget that sport is entertainment first. We're selling tickets.
Yep.
So that is very important. But should it be in a separate category? I like this idea.
Yeah.
I like this idea.
It's one I think that's come up a lot, especially in the Formula One world, where for some reason people seem to think that F1 used to be just about sports, and I think they forget the genesis of Formula One.
Yeah. But just about sports, not about entertainment.
Yeah, it was you know. Again, it started with amateurs, so they were hardly the greatest, biggest athletes.
Yeah.
I think the average age on the grid, you know, back in the 50s was probably 40 or 50-year-old.
Right, right.
But it came out because there's a great piece that was written by Elizabeth Blackstock where she highlights the fact, and I think you'll appreciate this, but she highlights the fact that the Formula One owners, i.e. Liberty Media, are currently stuck marketing a sport when they were actually sold entertainment.
That is a big difference. You know, those are two very different things. Look, if you're asking me, which sounds like you are, I don't need a t-shirt gun. I don't need a dance squad. I mean, the halftime show is fine, but I'm here to watch the event. I'm here to watch the sport.
Well, I'm actually here to convince you otherwise.
Of course you are, Tony.
That you are, in fact, missing out on a huge element of what F1 actually has to offer. And to help me out, we have assembled an amazing team of superfans and experts.
You know, Tony never just gives you her opinion. She gives you her opinion, and then she assembles all this evidence to sway you.
I assemble the A-team.
So I am Rashi. Everyone in the entire world probably knows me as my Instagram page name, which is Amazing Lou.
So I'm Hannah. I am one half of the Fan Behavior podcast.
I am Zoe. I am the other half of Fan Behavior. And our goal is really just to bring people together, fangirls, fanboys, really whoever you are.
And this next voice you might find familiar.
I'm considering getting two fish in 2024, and I'm going to name them Lewis Hamilton and then Adrian Bowie.
That's a voice I recognize. Those puns, I recognize those puns.
Lily Herman, writer-editor by trade. In the context of F1, I did co-host season one of Choosing Sides F1, so I am very familiar with everyone. I'm here to be a menace to Yochai. And then elsewhere in F1, I am the creator of the F1 culture newsletter, Engine Failure.
What would you say fans are missing out if they only watch the race? Like, do you actually understand Formula One if all you do is tune in for the race and then tune out?
It's almost like going from looking at a 2D shape, like a circle, into a 3D sphere, right? Or like a square into a cube. Like, you just see more dimensions, more layers, more pandemonium, more tension, more stakes. They all exist the more you know about the sport.
I love a story. I love like watching a story. I feel much more invested in something if I understand how we got here and where it came from.
Look at Alpine, for instance. Obviously, you might say, a French team with two French drivers. That seems a little emotional and dramatic to begin with. But then if you know that Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon have had this weird tension, friction, rivalry going back to their teen years, and they had some massive falling out after having been friends for many years, that adds a layer. And then if you add the extra layer of Ralf Schumacher going on a network program in a different country and claiming it's because one stole the other's girlfriend when they were 14. Like, that's nuts. That is absolutely hilarious.
This is telenovela shit.
Yeah.
Can we swap background, please?
Wait, what the fuck? You're kidding me. What are you saying? Like, almost faster. Almost faster, Robert. If you would have not faster, I would have overtaken him anyway.
Yeah, we discussed it in the office. Let's please swap around, please.
Are you serious? You're being serious? I started in front. I was in front the whole race. You let him undercut me, and then...
But then you watch them on the racetrack, and of course, you know, there's times where, like, Pierre does something to Esteban, and Esteban makes a comment over the radio. You better understand it's not just about, oh, it's my teammate, my competitor, you know, that dynamic. It's these guys have a lifetime of history together, had very different upbringings, have been competing together since they were literal children, and now they're on the same team, and they both, yeah, everyone speaks French. They're just cursing each other out and in multiple languages, and I'm having a ball.
I probably have older, you know, okay, boomer beliefs on this topic.
Okay.
I think talent and performance should be the top deciding factor.
Yeah.
But I'm a comedian who values and prides myself on being funny, but have struggled with the marketing side, you know, in my own opinion, struggled with the marketing side of this shit. And then you see younger comics who are so good at marketing, and I'm like, they can't even tell a joke. So I'm coming at it from like grandpa's mad.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm very fully aware of that. I do think LeBron James, Michael Jordan was fully aware of the marketing, but was such a complicated person. LeBron James came on the scene and it just is like, holy shit. He's not only the best player, but also is the best marketing, is also fully branded at an early age. So what was your question?
My question was, are you... in this day and age, and you kind of answered it. My question was, in this day and age, do you think it is fair that we expect these athletes to be top of their game, mm-hmm. the best in their industry, also incredibly marketable, presence, have a great presence on social media, be willing to do all the press conferences, be willing to do the late night shows?
Yeah.
I'm curious for both of you if there was a particular moment where you're like, oh, this is it, I'm hooked.
The second that Daniel Ricciardo came on screen, honestly.
Same for me. I often lovingly refer to Daniel as the gateway drug.
I think there's so many people, countless people, that really have Daniel Ricciardo to credit for why they are F1 fans or why they initially became Formula One fans. So yeah, it was right away when he said that he was Daniel Ricciardo and he was a car mechanic. I was invested.
Forgive my ignorance. Has he won anything?
But
I mean, so, I like the guy. I met him at the Daily Show. Very nice. No, but I just like where it's not cool to me when the marketing is so far ahead of the performance.
But maybe that has helped him stay in the game more so than anyone else.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, it's smart.
You stay alive.
I will never not root for him because he was the first person that I connected with. And in some weird way, I feel like I owe him. Like, he is the reason that I'm here doing this. And so I feel like he deserves that from me, because it's almost like a thank you to him. Like, I will never not cheer for you because I'm so grateful to you for getting me in this position, which is what I would tell him if I ever met him.
I think they're always going to go for this. The brands behind the drivers are always going to try to get this because this is the sweet spot with the most amount of money and the most amount of, but they all can't do it.
And
they all cannot do it. It's going to backfire. It's going to be problematic at times, and it's going to feel clunky. And
thanks to money and fame, I felt I was entitled.
Look at Tiger Woods, man. You know, they created this. He had the talent. They created the story. Everything was perfect, and it was a fucking disaster. I mean, now it's a disaster. The guy is like a pussy hound who can't stay off pain meds and crashes his car every 6 months. You can quote me on all that. It's insane. It's like, is that really good for golf?
I brought this shame on myself. I hurt my wife, my kids.
Well, we like putting people on pedestals so high
and then
that they
can't.
That we can't. Yeah. But I think, so here's the thing. I know you're not the biggest fan of Max Verstappen, but I do think when we have this conversation, Max Verstappen is a perfect example of someone who has sheer talent, dedication, shows up, does the job, does not care about anything else.
Everyone will agree. I think his fans would agree, and that's what they love about him. He's there to race. He's rough around the edges. When he's done racing, he's probably going to jet off, and we're not going to hear from him that often until he shows up to race for something else or what have you.
But that also means that the media narrative is not in his control and his hands, and he's been painted as a villain.
I love that he doesn't do that bullshit. I love that he wins the races and says, "That's what this is how I'm communicating to you."
There you go.
That's a Jimmy Connors vibe in tennis. Yeah. Oh, you think I'm an asshole? I just won the tournament. It's over. I don't even have to do an interview. I can do what I want. I love that. And if you know when that works? When you win.
When you win.
When he starts placing six over and over again, the brands, the sponsors are going to say, like, you got to do this podcast. You got to do the thing, you know, so.
Or they don't stick around.
Or they don't stick around. Yeah. And that's okay, too.
I think he is an incredible driver, but I don't have that level of, I feel a kinship or a connection, or I'm searching for your content. I want to see you off the track. Whereas a driver like Yuki Tsunoda.
Yuki, how many 8-year-olds would it take to beat you in a fight?
Oh, 8 years old is quite a good age. 7.
I could watch Yuki content all day, every day. Give me more of it.
You could only use one curse word for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Fuck.
Everyone loves him. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's so likable off track. And I think anyone that says they don't allow the driver off track personality to influence how they feel about the driver on track, I think is lying, because how can you not?
What are the rumors and gossip in F1 right now?
Where do you even start? I feel like there's a couple.
Let's start with sex.
You know what? That's the perfect cliff to hang an ad break on.
Short break, folks. We'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And we're back. Costa, you asked about the gossip.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to let the queen of salaciousness feel this one herself.
There's been something that I have dubbed Wagageddon, where most of the drivers dumped their long-term girlfriends in the same, like, 4 to 6 month span, and almost all of them got new girlfriends. And why that matters is that there's been this enormous turnover in a lot of the ways F1 culture works, be it people keeping track of what these various significant others are wearing to the track, or they, you know, certain significant others used to post photos and videos of the drivers, and obviously now they're off the grid. Some of those ex-partners are posting some kind of shady TikTok videos and Instagram posts that are kind of fun and intriguing to follow. But again, it's kind of a case of when you follow that stuff, you do get a more interesting, colorful picture of what's going on. But yeah, Wagageddon is my big one.
Wagageddon. All right, give us the juice. Who broke up with who?
Okay, it all kicked off, I would say, even last September, Lando Norris put out this weird statement about him and his girlfriend Luisa breaking up, and then he deleted it minutes later. So everyone's like, what is going on with this? But they broke up, and she dealt with a ton of cyberbullying just for being Lando Norris's girlfriend, not for any particular reason. You then had Charles and his then girlfriend Charlotte break up and put out identical Instagram statements. You had Pierre Gasly sort of, he broke up with a different girlfriend. Esteban Ocon broke up with his girlfriend Elena. Carlos, who was with his girlfriend Issa for like 6-7 years, they broke up and he got a new girlfriend. If you want drama within drama, Carlos Sainz's new girlfriend, Rebecca Donaldson, I want to say she's a Scottish model. Her big claim to fame, or one of her other ones, is that she dated Scott Disick, aka Kourtney Kardashian's ex, whom she has 3 kids with, for a short period of time. And Rebecca Donaldson went to the Kardashian Hulu show premiere, and that was like a mini plot point, was like, who's this mysterious woman that Scott Disick brought to our premiere? And it was Rebecca Donaldson, current Carlos Sainz girlfriend. The layers, the Kardashian, all roads lead to the Kardashians is what we're learning from this experience. So the Kardashians have infiltrated F1 inadvertently.
The way my brain works, I get so overwhelmed by the amount of rumors coming out that I just kind of block them all out, which is why I love things like, well, Lily's newsletter, because she tells me exactly just the things that I need to know in that space.
And great read. That.
Exactly. Great read.
I mean,
tell us.
I don't know what the hell's going on. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Read.
There you go. I get the lowdown. Yeah. So she's you know, she's the queen when it comes to actually not just giving us the rumors, but telling us how it fits into mm-hmm. the broader spectrum.
Can I give you a little insight into my brain?
Yes.
I do like when I'm watching a sport and they cut to the section of wives and girlfriends.
Why?
Because I like seeing how beautiful these women are, you know?
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's it. I told you it was a...
Okay.
No, I mean, it's always... Well, no, there's a lot of reasons. But of course, it's fun to just see this section of beautiful women. But I always feel like there's tension between them, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that part. Like at a soccer team, when they cut to the section and it's like, why didn't you pass them?
That's another trope of history. We love to pit women against each other.
Of course, of course. And I'm an advocate of history.
Yeah.
Or Michael just canceled himself.
Once again, Michael Costa cancels himself.
But I mean, I've also learned that if I'm thinking it, I'm not the only one.
No.
So let's talk, Tony.
Let's talk.
We are fans of these drivers. We are curious about their lives. That comes with who they're married to, who they're dating. But I also don't think it's necessarily fair that they like get put under this microscope when they're not necessarily posting about their boyfriend. So to me, the girlfriends that I feel like really resonate with myself, and I think Zoe would feel similarly, is Carmen, who's dating George Russell, and Lily, who is dating Alex Albon.
She's brilliant, by the way. She's a pro golfer, too.
Oh, okay. Much different speeds.
Very different speeds. They're a duo that clearly don't like social, but are very good at it.
It's always annoying when somebody's good at it.
3, 2, 1, action.
She did the BTS footage of him trying to do a campaign on TikTok for CeraVe moisturizing.
Yeah.
And it was such a smart move to showcase how idiotic we all look
trying
to do these TikTok videos. And she's just in hysterics. And you're just like, that's actually cute because we shouldn't take all of this. To your point,
correct.
This is sports. We shouldn't always take everything seriously.
I also find it interesting the wives and girlfriends that have taken their platform and used it to then pursue other things outside of being the partner of a Formula One driver, whether that's brand deals, working with sponsors. People have different feelings on that. I think some people feel like you shouldn't use your relationship to make money. Other people think, why not? You have this great platform. I don't really have an opinion on that. I just think it's an interesting thing to navigate.
Do you know who Morgan Riddle is?
Yes.
So Morgan Riddle is dating Taylor Fritz. Taylor Fritz is a very well-known and famous American tennis player.
Yep.
There's also a show now on Netflix called Breakpoint. Breakpoint is to tennis what Drive to Survive.
Everyone's trying to do Drive to Survive.
And they're all going to fail.
Yeah.
And that can be a whole other season on that.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is this whole piece was about her role in tennis, not from within the bubble, not pretending to be a tennis expert, but from actually the position where she sits. And she is a lifestyle and fashion influencer. And Wimbledon did something really incredible, which is Wimbledon decided, hey, you are good looking, you're great with fashion, you're great on camera, you've got your whole audience, and we are noticing that little girls and little boys come up to you and go, you're the reason I'm in tennis. Mm. And she doesn't pretend. She's like, I'm barely interested in matches. I look at them because my boyfriend is playing, mm-hmm. and so that got me interested. So I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not. But I do love getting ready for a tennis match. Mm. I do love putting time and effort into the outfits I pick. And when she was at Wimbledon, she did that as well. And so Wimbledon, what they did was give her a fashion segment.
Tell me what inspired your outfit today.
Mine's a combination of preppy, modern. And I think the outfit was also inspired by Shawn Mendes.
Ooh. Yeah. So
if he's which I thought was genius, really called cool. Threads. It's on YouTube. It's actually pretty popular. And
I should jump in quickly. Yeah. No sport cuts to the wife or player box more than tennis.
I did not know that.
I mean, almost after every point.
Why?
Constantly.
You said at the end there, you pointed to your people up there and said, I told you. What did you tell them?
My girlfriend thought I was too confident going into the
match. She was getting an incredible, and just always does, the box always does, an incredible amount of camera, close-ups. Yeah.
Morgan up there said, if Taylor wins again, I'm going to eat a jar of Vegemite on Instagram Live.
The reason I had a moment of, oh, we're in trouble in Formula One, when Wimbledon, one of the most archaic sports out there, is beating us in terms of getting creative and utilizing the wives and the girlfriends and treating them like ambassadors with an actual role in this industry to actually tap into brand new audiences. And that's what I mean, where it's like, I might not follow the gossip, but these women, the way they dress, what they stand for, the work that they do, are bringing in a whole new cohort of fans of the sport that might not just be in for it for the tech or the speed, but they're just like, I love what this sport represents. Right. I love that it's a traveling circus. I love the fashion. I love the glitz. I love the glamour. And there's nothing wrong about that. So anyway, I had this moment of, oh crap, we're in trouble when tennis is beating us to the punch here.
I slept for 5 hours last night, which, like, if you guys know my sleep, I'm like a 10 to 12 hour kind of gal.
To your point about Morgan.
Yeah.
I might get in trouble for saying this, and it's probably stupid for me to say it.
Then maybe don't.
Tony.
My favorite part of Taylor Fritz's tennis is Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, I just, he bums me out so many times with attitude, effort, result.
Yeah.
And she's this breath of fresh air in his tennis world.
The thing that I love about her is she gives the middle finger to anyone who's like, why the hell is she even there? She doesn't care about tennis. She's like, bring it on. This is great for social clout.
Love it.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I do take melatonin. I drug myself with ZQL. I'll take some gummies. Knock myself out.
I just wanted to make one sort of, introduce one sort of thought or claim here.
Yep.
Every form of entertainment needs to be something else other than just entertainment and showing people a good time. It has to include some kind of other function for it to be of value.
Example?
Comedy. I think comedy is basically a form of popularizing philosophy.
Okay.
And how you think about life. Also, it helps people talk and think about very difficult issues and break taboos. And I think sports' role in society, and F1 is part of that, is in a way to subdue a lot of our inherent violence, both as individuals and as society.
This is the smartest thing Yohai has ever said to me.
And just sort of like create a place where you can be incredibly competitive and destructive and violent, and then turn around and just shake hands and walk home as friends.
This is why commentators don't do this anymore, thankfully. But there used to be so much war terminology used in football, too, you know.
Yeah.
Get the troops together.
He's in the trenches.
Yeah, in the trenches. And this is very common because it does tie into this life or death feeling. But the reason I hate when they do that is it's like, this isn't real stakes. This is goofy, whatever.
Who are we kidding right now?
But I like this. And I like analyzing what each sport really is providing for us on a much deeper level. Interesting.
The following is a public service announcement.
Zhou Guanyu, publicly single. Again, I'm going to keep saying publicly single because, you know, we don't know. There are certain shenanigans I don't need to know about. Yalter Bottas is taken. Daniel Ricciardo, taken. Yuki Tsunoda, publicly single. Mentioned a girlfriend on a live stream, but like a year ago, and has never brought her up again, so no one really knows. Fernando Alonso in an odd territory where he's been linked to another F1 journalist, which would be his second F1 journalist in a row that he would be dating. Stroll is taken. Charles and Carlos are taken. Kevin and Nico are married. Lando Norris, another murky one where there's endless conspiracies about if Lando is dating his ex, hooking up with random people. He's a guy in his mid-20s sowing his seeds, and as long as it's consensual and safe, then none of my business.
That's right. Right.
Lewis Hamilton, publicly single, and Logan Sargeant, publicly single. Though, again, you kind of hear rumors here and there, and he does follow a lot of Instagram models and bikini models on social media, so...
End of public service announcement.
And another thing that fans seem to really love is when the drivers share their hobbies.
Yeah, I was wondering, what are some of their hobbies? Do they have a life outside of just racing?
Yeah, Lando picked up photography, I guess. That was fun for us. And so then Daniel picked up photography because he doesn't like being left out. Then it became everyone needs a JPEG account. And it's like, no, they don't. No, they don't. It's fine. They don't all need to go get cameras and like figure it out. I think Lando tried to be a DJ for a minute or two.
Sadly, my DJ career has come to an end.
Already?
That was fun.
Lando, what's up with your license, by the way? Why are you a C license?
I don't think Max leaves his simulator, so I'm not really sure what else he does.
Max! I almost massively fucked up the last chicane. I braked so late.
Well, we have some drivers who like to flex their musical talent.
You have Charles Leclerc has put out some classical piano compositions that are very moody. I had a friend who's a classical piano aficionado listen to them. And his response, his very southern response, because he's from the South, was like, you know what? He loves what he's doing, and that's good for him. So there was no compliment in that review.
And then, of course, we have Sir Lewis Hamilton, who also dabbles in music when he's not jumping out of a plane.
That's cool. It's quite vulnerable for someone at this level to, like, share another hobby. It's like when John Mayer tried to do stand-up comedy and everybody's, like, hating on him immediately. And I'm like, what, is a famous person not allowed to try something different? You know, I kind of like that they have the courage to do that. That's just really cool. This is very likable.
We love telling people to stay in their lane.
Yes,
we
correct.
Love telling politicians to not get involved in tech. We love telling comedians to stay out of, I don't know, music. We love telling athletes to shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
We love telling women to just shut up and not talk.
Yeah.
Get back in the kitchen. My God, if I had a penny for every time someone told me that.
Oh, God. And I apologize to you for that.
No, don't. I mean, look, it's the reality in the boat. But it is fascinating that we love telling people to stay in their lane.
I'm going to go deeper.
Tell me.
I think we just... our brains need to create patterns. And I think we just, it's easier for us to identify people with labels. You go in the kitchen, you go up about, it's just like, it's so complicated. We just need to put it like here, here, and here. But it's a constant battle not to do that.
Yeah.
I find myself doing it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want people to do it to me and then I do it.
Yeah.
You know?
We like patterns. We feel comfortable. Patterns don't scare us.
Patterns save our life.
Yeah.
For
many reasons.
Yeah. If two of my family members got eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, I'm not going to hang with saber-toothed tigers. Okay? And that's why I'm here, because I'm a biological, evolutionary, scientific expert. Let's keep moving. Yohai?
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I remember last season we talked a little bit about the driver's sense of fashion or lack thereof. Mm. Anything new in that arena?
I think fashion is a way how these personalities, they show who they are. Lewis, as we know him, he's such a strong personality now. I think one of the major reasons why I support him is because of the way how he shows up for himself. I think that's why he has one of the biggest fan base, at least in the current times. It's because he shows who he is by wearing, you know, all these clothes, by collaborating with all these brands. That's how a lot of fans are able to connect with him.
So Rashi, for example, runs an immensely popular Sir Lewis Hamilton fan account that is devoted entirely to Sir Hamilton's wardrobe. Specifically, she tracks down every single item of clothing he is publicly seen wearing.
Wow.
It was out of like personal interest. Like I wanted to know what he's wearing. So that's why I just casually started posting about it. And now it's become such a huge thing. Like everyone wants to know the socks he's wearing, the earrings he's wearing.
So is it a lot of like detective work? You have to sort of like find out who makes those socks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like I have to search every corner of the internet. And it's such a intense task during race weekends because I usually have like a million messages waiting for me on Twitter and on Instagram asking what he's wearing. As soon as he arrives, people are asking me like, what is he wearing? I'm like, give me a break. Like, give me 5 minutes to breathe. At least let me see what he's wearing.
You're not getting a list from his...
I wish that would make my job so easy. But what I would say is his stylist, Eric, he's very, very helpful. Like he's a sweetheart. Whenever he's wearing something custom, right, I have to ask him because if he's wearing custom, it's definitely not available on the internet and I cannot really, you know, take something as a reference to search for what he's wearing. Sometimes, I mean, the outfits are just recognizable, right? Like, okay, this is the brand he's wearing. Then I just go back to his stylist to just cross-check and ask if what
Rashi,
he's wearing.
You can recognize this. I was sure as hell could not recognize this. I'd be like, I have no idea what that is. That is like a red t-shirt to me.
I think you have more drivers who are aware that that's something that people pay attention to. I'd say one of the biggest jumps we've seen has been George Russell really leaning into his preppy British fashion thing. So Tommy Hilfiger is a partner with Mercedes, but George has gone beyond just that partnership of what he has to wear for a race weekend by like contractual obligations with the team. So he's now a global ambassador. Interestingly, his girlfriend, Carmen Montero Munt, also signed on as a global Tommy Hilfiger ambassador. He grew out his hair. He's trying to do kind of like a, I likened it to like Hugh Grant in the 90s slash first season Chandler Bing on Friends, you know, RIP Matthew Perry. But that sort of hair, that's like what George Russell is doing right now.
Definitely Joe. So he's definitely the other personality I would love to, you know, post about because I think he's still in those early stages where he's showing what he is. He's definitely not very active as Lewis, but then he mentioned that he styles himself. So I'm pretty sure he's, you know, more hands-on with when it comes to fashion.
But focusing on fashion is not only about recognizing and calling out all those fancy high-end brands and designer outfits. Sometimes what the drivers wear can actually hint at what's going on with them emotionally. Lily Herman, for example, has been paying close attention to Charles Leclerc's trousers.
He does wear what I call his depression pants. He'll show up in these really gaudy, awful pants, which does add a layer to the intrigue of Charles Leclerc, is that he'll show up sometimes in these fashion ensembles, if we want to call them that, where it's like, man, this guy is going through something.
Wait, Lily, depression pants, are they a very specific type of pants or is it a vibe?
It's a category of pant. He has these like, he had those knitted white shorts when he wore them. I think everyone, there was like a collective scream that came through my phone on Instagram. Everyone just yelling about these pants, these shorts. He had this pair of like tie-dyed striped, like distressed blue and white pants that he wore this season. And the second they came out, I was like, I need to know what happened behind the scenes because this man is not doing well. And then sure enough, it was not a good weekend for Charles for many reasons. But the pants were definitely the main contributor to me.
You know what Formula One drivers from a fashion standpoint have going for them is that they're small.
They're teeny tiny.
And so they fit stuff.
They're rack size.
Yeah, exactly. Like, tall people, they always look like idiots and stuff. You know, I put on a cardigan today and I said, you're not allowed to go outside the house in this. You know,
there's actually a great piece that came out somewhere that said that not only are the drivers skinny, but they have to stay the exact same weight throughout the whole year, which I never thought about because I'm someone whose weight fluctuates throughout the year. Yeah. These drivers have to stay on the exact same weight count.
I would think that there's a potential for eating problems.
Yeah. Big time. There's actually Stoffel Vandoorne has talked about getting an eating disorder from Formula One and being worried about his weight. And obviously there are kind of weight limits and other stuff they have now to try and prevent that. But yeah, you've had a lot of questions around different drivers over the years. I know there was a little bit of controversy last year or the year before when Daniel Ricciardo posted a What I Eat in a Day video, or maybe his trainer posted it. And there was a lot of, man, those are tiny portions for like a professional athlete, you know. So it's a constant issue, and it's one of those that F1 kind of sweeps under the rug or pretends isn't real. On top of that, our society in general, not just American society or European society, but everywhere, really doesn't know how to talk about male body image issues or disordered eating or eating disorders in men. So it all kind of feeds into that, where things that women do, we sort of know to flag, but the second men do it, they sort of rebrand it. They call it biohacking or stuff like that. And society kind of sweeps it under the rug. I mean, you know, a lot of these protein shake businesses, Soylent and all that stuff, you know, there's a lot of questions about how much of that is just kind of, you know, a general supplemental thing and how much of that could be contributing to larger problems with how men view food and their bodies.
These drivers get weight after every time they come off the track.
Yeah.
Like, that would be my worst. Imagine if we both got weighed.
Well, I was going to ask you, is Yohai weighing you? Because he's been weighing me after every episode. It's like, is this necessary?
We're giving you the real Formula One experience.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so fashion, sex, money. I mean, it's got to always be like contracts, gossip and money.
The money and the contracts tie into whose contract is coming to an end, who are we looking at, which again, if we think about the start of this conversation, comes into play. Like, who's always top of mind? There's a reason that people are always like, where's Daniel going? What's his? Because he's always out there as a marketing genius, so always top of mind.
Yeah.
And he
doesn't. I feel like I was hard on Daniel, but I stick by it, but maybe I was a bit too hard on him.
Yeah, but I think here's the other thing is he's put himself so high that there's only one place for him to go, which is down. And especially, and people are looking, so yeah, he's top of mind, but people are also like, oh, he's only P7. Oh, he's only P8.
Right.
Well, let's talk about this. Why do we keep talking about him?
When I would watch Naomi Osaka and she'd be losing in the second round, and then they'd go to commercial break, and it'd be three different brands of her commercials. And it would infuriate me because I would go, stop with the – not even her. Your agent, your team, your coach, tell her to stop with this other shit and focus on this. This is just classic, like, couch fandom, you know, because I don't really know when – But he has put himself there.
Yeah.
Another perfect example. For those who don't know, Logan Sargent's family, very famous in Republican Florida politics. His uncle was implicated in an aspect of the Trump impeachment, and his family has been taking each other to court for a decade and a half. His dad was convicted of bribing foreign officials to help his, like, cement business or something like that. Again, not saying Logan did anything with it, but, like, family baggage. And there's been questions about his politics that have come up that I think Williams has sort of bobbed and weaved around, and Logan himself has sort of tried to separate himself. There was an Instagram caption at one point that created a lot of controversy. Again, all the documents I pulled were all publicly available, like court documents and old Palm Beach Post reports and all this stuff.
That's why we love you, Lily, because it was publicly available, but no one went to look at them but you.
Yeah, so I will say his dad and uncle had much to say about each other in the court documents when they were talking about the bribery case. Like, my God. But yeah, I mean, those court documents, basically his uncle tries to claim that Logan and his brother Dalton's motor racing careers were funded by these, like, the bribery money. That's essentially what his uncle alleges, I will say, in the documents, amongst many other things. For a man who says no few words, his family has said plenty of words.
Okay, so Michael, we could go on for hours
I feel like
on
we
this
have.
Topic. There are so many more scandals, interesting wives and girlfriends. We haven't even covered Bottas's coffee side gig, nor his pageant for nudism. But I hope we did give you a little taste of the richness of this topic.
Yeah, I mean, you have. And, you know, typically I don't like a little taste so close to the word nudism.
To close us off, I do want to give the last words to Hannah from the Fangirls podcast.
Seems fair.
I think being a fangirl is just having a deep love of something. I think fangirls get a bad rap. People don't give that the same credit or value. I think if you're a sports fan, if you love, let's say, American football, and you're a man that wears another man's jersey and you yell and scream and spend all your money, that's very valid. That's considered normal. No one bats an eye. But if you're a girl that loves going to concerts or going to Formula One races or whatever it is, that's seen as you're crazy, you're insane, which I don't love. Obviously, that stereotype is really frustrating to deal with. But I think it's the same thing. I think ultimately it's the same thing. It's having deep passion for what you enjoy, and really caring about what you love and not being ashamed to talk about it. And I think there's often been shame associated with being a fangirl. But I think the point of what we do and kind of what we hope other people that feel the way about this sport that we do is you should shout your love from the rooftops and not be ashamed to say how you feel.
I love that.
So, Michael, final thoughts on the gossip fan? Is this you, perhaps?
It's definitely not me, but it's an important part of all sport to keep us all nibbling at the sport in these kind of quiet times when there's not a race to talk about. I do feel like I need to come clean here. Okay. That rumor that I told you about, Max.
Yeah?
I made that up.
You don't say.
I know. I guess you could call it wishful thinking, but I was just trying to manifest my thoughts onto the world.
How's that working for you?
Hit
or miss?
50-50. Yeah, 50-50.
I like that for you.
Do you believe in like thought creates reality?
Oh, man. You're a subscriber. That's a fucking tough one. I really believe in positive mental outlook. And that's going to be my answer. And you can interpret that any way you want.
I'm going to take it as a no.
I just don't know if you can manifest something, but yeah.
I'm going to try to manifest the credits.
Okay, well, I'm going to quickly tell you what I have in my office.
Michael's going to manifest
above.
Something very different.
Yeah. I'm going to manifest the longer edit. What I have is it says, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Now, let's manifest some fucking credits.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios, iHeart Podcast, and 101 Studio Podcasts. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Tony Cowan-Brown. This episode was edited, scored, and sound designed by senior producer Yochai Meital. Scott Stone is the executive producer and head of audio, and Danielle Wexman is Director of Podcast Development and Production Manager at 101 Studios. At iHeart Podcast, Sean Titone is our executive producer. And a special thank you to Michelle Newman, David Glasser, and David Hutkin from 101 Studios. For more shows from iHeart Podcast, go visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And whatever you do, don't forget to rate us and tell your friends. It really does mean a lot.
So next week on Choosing Sides F1, we're going to present the Speed Junkie.
Yes. Now we're getting into some shit. Let's go.
We're getting into the meat. F1 cars are undoubtedly incredibly fast machines, but they can only go fast in the hands of extremely capable and talented drivers. of whom there are only a handful in the entire world. Mm-hmm. So next week, we're going to focus on the drivers. We're going to try and understand what specific talents are needed to be a Formula One racer. And we're definitely, absolutely, certainly going to settle once and for all who is the GOAT of Formula One.
Okay.
Feel ready?
I'm ready. Let's do the speed. Won't turn back and we won't go round and we won't slow down. Let's go. Can't believe we haven't done speed yet.
Yep.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.